Aynel, do you know where the best feeling in the world is?
Ooh, is it, you know, when you finally beat a boss after messing up loads of times?
I mean, that's a good one.
Oh, actually, you know when you unlock a new skin in a game without having to buy it?
Yeah, solid.
Yeah, that's good. Oh, actually, what about when you blue shell someone last second and then you win the race?
I mean, they are all good options.
Well, it's not one of them.
It's not one of them. They're good options, but I think it's when you've got your new game loaded up, you are ready to go, you're getting locked in, but you've got a chocolatey friend.
Hey, hey! Now we're talking,
absolutely,
bro.
They are there, ready to give you a little power up, a little energy boost before you get going.
Especially if it's a lovely milk chocolate slab between two crisp biscuits.
You know the one, Aynel. It makes the world's most satisfying snap when you bite into it. It's got to be a pick-up art.
Pick-up! Oh, yeah! Oh, are you going for the OG pickup? You know the one with the blue box?
Yeah, this blue box.
That blue box?
Yeah, this is really good. I mean, I'm also dabbling with the salted caramel as well.
Okay.
There are loads of different flavours out there. Whichever one you go for, there is no better snack for when you're getting ready to get into a big gameplay session, about to pick up your controller and get into it.
Yeah, and they're super easy to eat as well. No chocolatey fingers over the controllers. Nah. And that's thanks to the two crisp biscuits hugging the chocolatey slab.
Nobody wants chocolate marks on their controllers, do they? Absolutely not. You can find out more by just searching for Pick Up on your phone.
Pick Up and Go.
So this is a plug and play podcast, basically, right? You don't need to download any updates. There's no day one patches. You can listen to it as soon as it is ready on Spotify and all the other places you get your podcasts. Also on YouTube now as well. Welcome along to Press X to Continue. It's the video games podcast that has got you covered. Whether you've never played a PlayStation or Xbox before, or whether you're never off one of the things. Whether you've got a Switch in your hands, or whether you're playing Candy Crush, or whether you're a Pokemon catcher. Even if you just play once in a while, everybody is welcome here in the Continue Club as an XC Beast. My name is Stefan Powell. I can't even say my own name, I know. That's how stressed I am with this house.
Maybe we do need a patch.
Yeah, maybe we do need we patch me out, actually, and patch someone else in.
To be fair, I've probably said some stuff that's factually incorrect on this show many times before, so
yeah, but you've got your name right.
True.
God's sake, it's not like I'm a presenter for a living. Anyway, there's a lot going on at the moment, right? So apologies if things are a bit chaotic and carnage here at Press X Towers. As ever, I'm joined by the actor, streamer, video game colossus. That's what we've described. Ooh. You today, as I know. You take that?
I'll say Colossus. I don't think I've been in that many games to say Colossus. I'm double digits, but I'd save Colossus for triple digits if I ever get there.
Okay, fine. We'll save Colossus. Anyway, good egg. Aynel Tomlinson is here, as ever. And Aynel, you know, thank you for being here to help me get through. I mean, you've just moved out, so you know what it's like.
Brother. I just didn't do it with young people.
Yeah, with small humans running around. But yeah, we're very excited to be here. Loads to talk about, and some lovely friendly faces with us as well. Now, Press X is proudly sponsored. If you're new here, welcome along. We are sponsored by Pickup, which, if you've not come across Pickup, what have you been doing with your life? But basically, it's either a chocolate biscuit bar or a biscuit bar with chocolate, depending on how you see it, really. But we say it doesn't really matter what it is, because it helps you release tension, is very tasty, and helps you make the most of those unpredictable moments the gaming throws at you. And we've been really happy to be working with the team at Pickup for a few months now.
Oh yeah, let's just say there's a couple of Press X's that have like messaged me. They found Pickup in various other countries as well, and they've sent me pictures when they've been on their travels that they've seen some Pickup bars. So it's like, there, boom.
Well, we did giveaways, didn't we, recently for Pickup bars? And Johnny did, VR, yeah, who won't mind me mentioning this, on our Discord group, did some really funny videos with his Pickup bars that you can see on our social media. So go and have a little look at that. They're tasty, they're great. And so, yeah, big up Pickup. Right, today we are joined once again by the presenter and esports host, queen of the Continue Club. It is Frankie Ward. Frankie, welcome back.
Hello, you're welcome.
Are you sitting on your freshly upholstered seat yet?
No, I'm still sitting on my Herman Miller, but it's fine.
Yeah, it'll come.
One day.
Check out Frankie's socials in case you're wondering what the hell we're talking about. It all makes sense. And also, we are joined by the comedian, game player, man who left his Switch on a train once, king of the XC Beasts. It's Glenn Moore. Glenn, welcome back. Lovely to have you here.
Hello, it's lovely to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Glenn's been, I mean, some of the OG Press X's here, as we are nearing in on 12 months of Press X being back reborn in the wild. Woo-hoo! Can you believe it? Mm-hmm. I know, nearly. We made it a year. Glenn, now, since you were with us last, you've got some exciting new projects to tell us about. Tell us all about Button Boys before we get into this. We get into the meat of this episode.
Button Boys is a comedy video games podcast I host with the excellent comedians Sarah Keyworth and Piana Velli, where the idea is we are only talking about the content of games. So we're aware that we're not like journalists, and so we steer clear from, you know, the industry chat and what's sort of going on in the games industry to just what's coming out and what you've been playing and what people wish they could play and what they want to see come back. And it's been very, very good fun. And also has given me like that financial excuse that we all want to play video games, to be able to go, I have to be doing this. This is a job, and yeah. That's the real joy. So it's tremendous fun.
It's what we all tell our accountants.
Yeah, yes, exactly.
Yeah, that subscription service needs to be tax deductible. Thank you very much. Yeah, and interesting, Glenn, that you've discovered that after you used to play 100 games in a year. So what were you doing
back in the day? I used to spend a lot of money. But yeah, I'm nearing in on my 105 target I've set for this year. I'm in the 90s now. And I'm leaving like the big hitters till last. So the new Metroid will be in December. I'm saving Ghost of Yote until December. Those are going to be like the big December project.
This is stressing me out so much. The thought of all those games.
It's an illness that I have that makes me want to keep finishing all these things.
Yeah. Right, Glenn. What is your unpopular opinion then to get us going for this week's episode?
All right. Let's keep it light and gentle. Can you pet the dog and fuck off?
Yes.
So. Because immediately there's a number of different reasons as to why you may not like Can You Pet the Dog. For me, it's not so much the I do have gripes with regards to the tweeness of it, but mostly it's overdone and it's no longer a treat, a joke, or a surprise, because when you see a dog in a game, you fully expect it. So that element's now gone. I think the main elements are it firstly usually takes you out of a situation. It's so predictable now that you usually only ever see it in a hub or safe environment, because you know that's just what's going to be happening. Like in a real sort of like Nathan Drake walking around his home at the beginning of Uncharted 4, you know you can just pick up all these objects and examine them. It's both predictable, but also what I've learned recently of seeing it come up in games is it highlights a level of interactivity that just isn't there in the rest of the game for the most part. It's so rarely in a game where you can pick up other objects and interact with everything. It's usually the only thing in a room that you can interact with. And you go, right, so I can pet the dog, but I can't open a cupboard. It usually just implies a level of depth that the rest of the game just doesn't have. And I think it lulls you into a false sense of, I don't know, expectation that the game is going to be a really, any game you play is going to be a really involved, immersive sim, when it just isn't. And it's twee as well. It's twee as hell.
Are you petting the dog in games, Frankie? And are you kicking off if you can't pet the dog in the games, which is why we've ended up in this situation?
I am frequently patting the puss in many an open world game, but I leave those dogs alone. I used to find it fun and novel to interact with animals, and now I just don't bother with it. And I actually thought about this one myself, but not as in depth or with that explanation that Glenn has provided, so I'm glad I didn't put this one forward, because actually Glenn's put forward a much more compelling argument than I would have. It's just one of those things, as Glenn said, that takes you out and is another distraction. And in these games that are giving you so many things to do already, to get distracted and waylaid is an issue, and so I'm on board.
It's so not important that I love that we're spending a lot of time talking about it. That's the beauty of it.
But the thing is, I find I have to do it. I have to do it, because I know that, like, if I see any object highlighted in a room in a game, I do have to. There's just a compulsion to do it anyway. So I'm furious and scowling while I do it, but I still do it every time, because you get the trophy pop up and you're like, okay, right, I guess I've achieved something.
Of course, I know. All of this became massive, didn't it? Because that Twitter account, Can You Pet the Dog, right? Which is to reply to every game's company, like, can you do it? Do you think, given what Glenn just said, that we should set up a Twitter account, can you open the cupboard? And do you think it would work? Do you think it would be as successful? I know Twitter's not
sure it would be as successful with Twitter being what it is now. But like, a few years ago, it was a nice little laugh. Personally, I don't take much stock into it. I see it as like easy achievements if it's possible, because usually if it's possible you usually get an achievement or a trophy for doing it. And it's just like, oh, sweet. If there's, I'll go up to any dog I see in a game. It's usually like a third person game, and go up to it. Do I get an achievement? Yay or nay? And then I just move on. I don't really get too deep into it, but it's I do appreciate why it was there, but I think it's for its time. It's like a commentary of the time, but I think it's time to move on from it.
Just to push back slightly, Glenn, there'll be some people listening to this describing you as Scrooge or the Grinch.
No, because I made it very clear. This isn't about the tweeness of it or the coziness. I'm perfectly fine with that element of it. It's just that it's so usually outside of the game. It doesn't make any sense. If tonally it's part of the game, then fine. I'm fully expecting it to happen in like The Sims or, you know, a sort of a very gentle environment. But for the most part, it's so utterly surreal when it pops up, or weirder still when it's a cross-species thing that you get in, like, say, Star Wars Outlaws. It feels really... Don't get me wrong, animal bonding in games is a lovely sort of thing. Star Wars Outlaws, I loved going for a... Where you could go for a meal with your animal companion, and there was just this mini-game that had no other effect on the world other than you just tap buttons to eat, essentially, sweet corn. And it was very sweet and it was very nice. But it feels... It's not like you then do anything else with the dog. It feels so lazy. It feels so tacked on. And it makes me feel like a developer's rolled their eyes when they've made a dog gone, I'm going to have to do a f***ing pet animation. I get the sense that they don't enjoy it either. This isn't me being curmudgeonly or anything like that. Not against the very concept of it. It just never fits in with games.
So what do you think of our own Victor Meldrew? That's such an old, old thing. I'm just like,
once we've got that,
Jeez.
Who's the American politician who clearly did not like her own dog?
That one.
Didn't like her own dog?
Yeah, the ice lady.
Oh, is it like Kirsty Noem?
Are you thinking Sarah Palin, who ran for vice president?
It's Kirsty Noem. Glenn is the Kirsty Noem of video games, but much more glamorous.
I don't know if that's a
compliment. Yeah, it's a bizarre new video game where you get a trophy of Can You Kill the Dog? And it's just providing you with a series of insane... What do you mean? Why is that a function?
There we are. Welcome along. It's every episode is someone's first episode. This is how it goes down here on Press X to Continue. And let us know what you think of Glenn's opinion. Get involved in the Discord. There's a link somewhere below. Or find us on social media as well. Press X Pod on Instagram, on Blue Sky and TikTok, and Press X Podcast on Instagram. And share your thoughts with us. Do you like patting the dog? Do you think it's a good thing? Or do you agree with Glenn? Let us know. Now, some other thoughts from the Discord. Rob has shared this. He says, respawning enemies in games with limited resources... get on my nerves, because I'm playing them at the moment. I'm thinking specifically of Remedy games like the Alan Wakes or Control. Every time you re-enter a space, the enemies come back, but the ammo boxes, the lockers, etc. remain looted. Especially frustrating because they're the type of games that force you to go back and forth multiple times to advance the story. I've shot you once, stay shot, says Rob.
In many ways, it's only fair because that's what's happening to Alan Wake. Like, when you get a game over, you do then come back. So I guess it's... You are being treated the same as they're treating you.
There we are.
I think it does annoy me, and especially as you say, with the finite resources, it's annoying. It adds a nice bit of jeopardy in something like Resident Evil, where you don't truly know, unless a zombie's head has exploded, whether or not it's going to get up. Or in the Evil Within, you have to burn the bodies to make sure they don't come back up again. But generally, it almost feels like every time that comes up in a game, I'm always like, you guys have not play tested this, because if you knew how annoying it was to play, you wouldn't have made it.
Rob, sounds like you got a fan there with Glenn. Then Leo got in touch with us, and he was responding to Joey's unpopular opinion recently about cutscenes needing a rewind button. So we had Joey on this a couple of weeks ago, and he was talking that he wished cutscenes had a rewind button so he could watch them again if he missed a detail or whatever, or someone popped in the room. Well, this is from Leo, who says, well, on PlayStation, I've got a way around this for Joey. On PlayStation, I save the past 15 minutes of gameplay.
Yep.
And then I go back and watch it again. And then I just delete the recording. That's genius.
I do that. It's excellent. Yeah. It saves you. It saves you so many times.
I do that occasionally. If I'm playing like a game on stream and there's like a moment that happens, I'm like, oh my gosh, that just happened. Just literally save the last minute and then rewind it. And the good thing about the PS5 is it just pops it straight up. You just click on it and then it just starts playing it straight away. And it's like, oh, it's so funny to kind of replay funny moments or like cool moments. But like, yeah, great to just like rewind cutscenes as well. It's a nice feature. Yeah.
I think they should have a function in games where in the cutscenes there's a bit of interactivity, like for instance in like The Quarry, Until Dawn, or Dispatch, which is great at the moment, that cartoon one with Aaron Paul. that sometimes I'm not focusing and a decision comes up on the screen and I forgot that I'm not watching a cutscene, I am playing a game. I missed the decision. There should be a rewind. Now, I know it goes against the idea of these games to have a rewind function because the idea is your decisions are permanent. But I think you should be allowed a little button that says, I'm sorry, but I wasn't listening. No, you know, there should be a whole separate gameplay thing of I wasn't good enough at the game, my finger slipped, I pressed the wrong thing, I wasn't quick enough, I was indecisive. There should be another one that goes, sorry, can you repeat that? That's rude of me. And that's on me.
Would that be a limited resource, Glenn?
Yeah, because after a while, the game would go, why do I bother? And then it should delete itself.
This is the fifth time you've asked.
You don't even care. What am I to you? Frankie, would you like to rewind cutscenes? Do you agree with Joey's from a few weeks ago?
Yeah, and sometimes I accidentally skip them. And I do know that some games actually do let you watch cutscenes back from the menu, so that's very much appreciated and useful. I am definitely someone who accidentally hits the space bar and then suddenly I've missed a load of things. I tend to go on YouTube though for my cutscenes rather than, because I'm playing on PC as well, and sometimes I watch something back on stream, but mostly YouTube cutscene alternate endings, that's like my go-to place.
Oh,
and it works out. Those, but yeah, I agree, you should be able to like rewind for sure.
The YouTube thing sometimes makes me quite depressed though. If I go, right, let's go on such and such a game walkthrough, and I'll be like, right, I'm roughly like 8 hours into the game, so I skip 8 hours into the video and I realise, oh no, this person reached the point I'm at within half an hour and it turns out I'm dreadful at the game, so I both wasn't listening and I'm stupid.
Yeah, when I played God of War Ragnarok, I was standard pressed for time, so I was using an IGN like guide as well to help me at places. And I was like, I am spending a lot longer than what this is suggesting. I don't know if that's just me being shit or them being very good or probably a little bit of both.
Oh, one of the most demoralizing websites on planet Earth is How Long to Beat.
Yeah.
You go, who's doing, I'm sorry. Sorry. Who's doing Resident Evil 2 in 2 hours? What are you talking about?
Well, look, let us know if you've got another. Well, first of all, Joey, I think Leo was onto something there. I think he probably deserves a thank you, because that's a great little workaround there. Any other thoughts or similar tricks you've got, let us know. Get involved in the Discord. We'd love to hear from you. Get involved in the conversation. Okay, then, let's get stuck into some trivia. Now, Glenn, since you've been on with us last, we've got a very clever now method triangulating how many times people have been on, how many answers they've got right, and where that puts them in the leaderboard. It's very, because some maths going on that none of us understands.
Okay.
But
we're trusting this new algorithm.
We're trusting the new algorithm that has come from the Discord. And it's Andy, isn't it, in the Discord that has done some very clever maths to figure it out. To be fair, so last time, so currently Frankie's had one, you've got one from five. So you're in 14th out of 15. Glenn, you've got zero from three. So you're currently down in 15th at the moment. But these are tough questions, to be fair. I've got 12 out of 30. Sheesh. No, yeah. No.
Yeah, the first part of that sounded good.
12 out of 40.
12 out of 42, actually. Yeah. Oh, God.
Oof.
Yeah, I know.
I'd hate to be you with my zero.
Anyway, so let's get some trivia. So if you think, by the way, these questions are really brilliant, we've had some genius questions recently, and you can get involved in the Discord. There's a secret channel there. You can put your questions in there and then we can try and answer them on the podcast. So this week's question is this.
Who wants to be a continuer?
The management sim games Theme Park and Theme Hospital had a third game in the series, but it was only ever released in Japan. And it was later then ported to the UK under a different name, different branding. So instead of a theme park or a theme hospital, what were the players tasked with managing? I didn't know there was a third game.
Does the third game begin with theme as well?
Well, in the UK, it was ported under a different name and branding. Oh. So in the UK, it was not theme something. But in Japan, it was.
They're not just like 2 Point University or something?
Well, 2 Points are separate.
Yeah.
Yeah, Theme Park and Theme Hospital, the third game in the series. Only
I would guess
Japan.
Zoo.
Yeah, Zoo Project, wasn't it? Or Zoo something.
We
any other increases on the zoo? It wasn't a school. When was there? Wasn't a school.
And right? it was Bullfrog that did it.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. I guess I'll go with Dungeon Keeper, I guess. I don't know.
Well, we can get back to the answer at the end of the podcast. So what is it? The sim management games, theme park and theme hospital are the third game in the series.
I've got the wrong series.
You both got very excited there. Frankie, what are you saying? Cities?
I was just saying, for some reason I said City Skyline, but that's way too recent and that's Frontier, so yeah. And that was made in Cambridge. Quite different places, guys. Tokyo, Cambridge. Lots of bikes. Yeah.
In terms of the Tycoon series was Railroad. And in terms of popular, light-hearted sim kind of things, it's usually like movie studios.
I played the movie studios one.
Movies was great.
Oh.
I played the movies.
Movies was fantastic.
I actually love those.
I wish that would come back.
I loved management sims back in the day. More management sims, please. Okay, look, we'll bring you the answer to that one at the end of the podcast. Reminder, we have got our jazzy new scoring system, which means I am currently in third place. So, not that I'm taking any glee in that, just saying. It's just a fact. It's a fact. Just sharing facts with you, that's all. Okay, right. So, we've had something come up in the Discord about realistic games and how much we care about whether games are realistic or not. So, a question from Roasting Pounds came like this. Realistic reloading and gun handling in VR games. Why? I'm ejecting cartridges and pushing individual bullets into chambers. Why am I doing that? Why is my gun stored somewhere on my shoulder? All issues that have never had to be addressed in regular first-person shooter games. I just want to get on with the business at hand. I just want to be shooting people. Thank you very much. What do we think, Einar? Realism good or bad?
I actually really love it. It would be nice if it was like an accessibility option to be able to kind of toggle whether you want to do that or not. But like, I love the immersiveness of it, especially like games like Half-Life, Life Alyx. Where you have to, especially because it adds to the jeopardy, especially with those kind of horror settings, because there's so many moments in that game where you get swarmed by all these different, like crab things that jump at your face, and you're trying to reach for the gun, and you're trying to change it to the next mold, and you're trying to fumble your cartridge. There's a bunch of like Twitch clips of like the community of me like getting so scared that I fumbled the cartridge, dropped it, trying to pick it up. Whilst I'm getting attacked, and it adds to that kind of the jeopardy of the game. So I wouldn't take it out. I love it.
Frankie, do you just want to be shooting things, or do you want to actually be, sticking those bullets individually into your six shooter?
I think it depends on if the game allows for fumbling. So if the game has the pace that allows for that, putting the bullets into the gun and getting ready or having those occasional blitz moments, then I'm for it. If the game is unfairly paced and doesn't allow for that, then I'm against it. I just want it to feel balanced at the end of the day, and then I'm not bothered.
See, Time Crisis 2, you didn't need to refill every cartridge, and that still felt realistic, felt in the moment, because I completed it for £1. I don't know if I told you this, Glenn.
Yeah, because you kept refilling the 10p slot.
I paid £1, Glenn, and I completed Time Crisis 2.
How much did Time Crisis 2 cost at point of entry?
That's not the point of the question. Their statement is that I paid £1.
You just couldn't stop buying Revive DLC.
Right. And so I'm just saying, like, I actually quite enjoyed that. And I'm being facetious, but I think that realism depends on the. I think Frankie's.
Sorry, Stefan, if I could, producer David is literally WhatsApping me as we speak saying it was 10p a play. Don't let him get away with this.
Well, I paid £1 and I completed Time Crisis 2 in one sitting.
It changes the whole context, doesn't it?
In Aberystwyth with Pia. Like, facts are fact. That is a fact. I had £1, I didn't have £1 at the end, I finished the game. I think realism, if you're playing a realistic game, then that is the cost of entry, right? So I think you've got to, it depends entirely on the experience that the game that the producers of the game are trying to create. I think if it's a sci-fi game and it makes you do stuff like that, no. The whole point of sci-fi is that you can willingly suspend your disbelief, whereas reloading is slowing that down. So I think it depends entirely on the setting and the context, is my thought.
I think if you're playing in VR, you should have an option of like, yeah, I want to play light gun version, or every VR game should have a bracket arcade mode where it's like, this is you playing as you would if it was a third person or first person game, but you're just seeing it through the eyes yourself. It is odd that the moment you want to be in the body of the protagonist, they suddenly go like, well, you will have to control your breathing as well. And at regular intervals, you'll need to visit the bathroom. You go, no, this isn't... I think like certain games nailed it with regards to realism. I'm not talking in terms of a VR space, but it's where the realism is gentle and guides you towards a more immersive experience. So like Red Dead or more recently Kingdom Come Deliverance 2, if you don't eat, you're not going to die. And if you're out in the cold, you're not just going to suddenly freeze to death. But it does hamper your abilities ever so slightly that it does, in Kingdom Come Deliverance 2, you do find yourself going to bed at a reasonable time, waking up in the morning, having a wash in the basin, equipping your stuff, chopping some wood, eating a bit of food, and you end up sort of gently realizing, oh my God, I'm living like a medieval peasant, and this is quite good fun. But if it did force you to like have a mini game where you have to scrub yourself with a loofah, you'd be like, I'm not doing this.
Yeah. There's a line I know. To interesting stuff. Let us know what do you think? Do you agree with roasting pounds? Are you not down for reloading bullet by bullet into your gun chamber? Do you like suspending your disbelief, or do you actually want an immersive experience like that? Let us know. Get involved in the content, in the conversation on Discord. And it's a perfect panel that we've got on with us this week to talk about this next topic, which is trying to find the time to play. Because I'm currently moving house, and we've talked a lot about this during our year back together, Ainel, about me struggling to find time to play because of for a variety of reasons. Glenn, you've managed to play over 90 games this year with a busy schedule. You're touring and you're on a radio show every morning at the crack of dawn. Frankie, you've got two kids and are busy, and you're managing to play as well. So, but a few people have been asking us, you know, in the Discord about how, you know, any sort of tips or tricks we've got in making sure that playing is part of our sort of the fabric of our lives. So how any thoughts or stuff you would share? I'll start with you, Glenn, I suppose, because you've played so many games recently. How do you go about doing it?
Yeah, I found myself, July was probably the busiest period of my life ever in terms of preparing for a house move and writing a tour show that had to be done by the end of the month, and writing a radio series, but also having a radio show in the mornings, having a second kid, but then also launching two weekly podcasts that month. That was the busiest period ever. But I managed to find time because I was like, well, medically, I need this relaxation. And if you're lucky enough to have a handheld console, then you do find yourself veering more into the sort of handheld space. And I also found, I remember reading an interview of Stephen King, the horror author, years ago, where he was like, he just reads all the time. And he's like, if you are queuing in the bank for 30 seconds, you can get your book out and read one page. You're like, I see it as like whittling games down. And so I'd find myself, if in a queue for something, just get the Switch out. If I know I'm not on the move, like any tube journey, anything like that. If you don't get motion sick on a bus or something like that, I'm happy to play with specific games, I've got to say. But, you know, games that lend themselves to short play sessions. But we'll happily get the Switch out for like 2 minutes and then put it back again. It is generally doable. I just, it became more few and far between those moments where you could sit down for 3 hours and do something. So handheld is generally the way to go. But there is always technically time. But also it comes down to whether or not you want to. If you come back home and you're just too tired, then that means you didn't want to, and that's fine. That's absolutely fine.
That's an interesting mindset that Glenn's got there, I know, because I struggle with that mindset. I think if I'm going to sit down and play a game, I want to feel like I need to be doing, I need to be crunching through a chunk of it to feel like that time was worthwhile. But Glenn's sort of reframing that as taking small chunks out of a game, then over time that builds up.
Yeah,
right?
I only kind of feel like you do, like in that way, Stefan, if it's like a AAA game. And because I always feel like with the big AAA games, I want to sit down on my sofa, put surround sound on, all the mod cons, 4K, let's go. And but everything else, I like Glenn, I just leave it to the handhelds to deliver. And especially nowadays, there's so many like various different handhelds, from the super premium ones to like super cheap kind of ones you can get for like a 50-60 quid, and that can play like all the past like platforms and things. And what I tend to do is, like, when I have limited time, I go to play the older platforms, like the PS2 generations, the PS1 and or the Super Nintendos and stuff, and I play all the legendary iconic games that I missed out on, because like it's the libraries are so vast. Yeah, there's so many games that I missed out on in that era that I've gone back to and played, and I've realized why so many people love them so much. Like, I played Eco for the first time this year, and I'm
absolutely... On what?
I got a not analog pocket.
Emulator.
Yeah, no, I got an Aeon Neo Pocket analog. Aeon Neo Pocket.
Oh, man.
DMG.
I want to find any way to play that game.
And that can play up to GameCube. It can play up to GameCube like platform. Mm. And I played Eco on that because it can play PS, it can play PS1, it can play PS2 and stuff. Played it for the first time, absolutely loved the game, and I was like, oh, and I can see why people love it so much. It reinforced my love for Shadow of the Colossus because that's one of my favorite games. But like at the same time, it was like, oh, I only picked it up and I played it for little bits at a time when I had it, because it's a little portable. I just put it in my backpack. Anytime I had a little moment, I'm like, all right, let's go. And the great thing about those handhelds is you can pause and save and whatnot any place you are. Whereas, like, obviously in the previous, back in the day, you had to find designated save points and you have to save there. Whereas these games just sleep when you're ready again.
Right.
Unsleep. Let's go.
That's interesting, and they're using that time to go back to, because I mean, the beauty of those old games is that they were 10 hours, 12 hours max.
Yeah, they weren't, and that's the thing, they weren't that massive. Not that massive at all.
What about you, Frankie, then? Because, you know, it's often hard as well when people say, oh, have you been to see that new Leonardo DiCaprio film? It's like, well, how do you do it all? You can't do it all, I guess.
Well, I would make time for one battle after another because it is an incredible film. So go see the Leonardo DiCaprio film. In terms of games, it is like... Yeah, I feel like this year has been so inconsistent for me because of having the kids. And even on my days off when I had like 3 days of childcare a week, I was spending most of the time cleaning up the house. I didn't even have time to think about what I wanted to play. So for me, the time that I get to play games is normally on stream. So then I can kind of go, well, this is work, and I can rationalize the excuse to play. But I think you guys have inspired me to return to my Steam Deck and just... make sure it's charged and start playing. And there's certain games I love playing on handheld, but there's certain games I don't. I don't want to play shooters on a handheld. I don't want to use a controller for that. I have to be a keyboard and mouse. And that's one of the problems I have, I think, is actually getting to my computer outside of my streaming hours where I can actually utilize that time. So I'm being inspired by all of you guys. I have charged up my Switch recently. I haven't got a Switch 2 yet. I haven't invested. But yeah, I think I need to start taking games on the go with me a lot more and just carving out that time. But often in the evening, I'm too tired to even finish.
But you know what, though, Frankie?
Finish Split Fiction with my husband.
Like I always say, don't feel bad about like being slow on games. Like I've been playing Final Fantasy VII Rebirth for over a year now, and I still not finished it. But like I'm loving it.
You should. I think you're about a third of the way through if it's a year.
But absolutely loving it. Everybody finished it like in the first month. I've been playing it slowly for over a year and a half, and I'm like, I still love it.
This is like one of the reasons I think I gravitate towards indie games is that I can finish them in, you know, in one or two sessions, like playing Dead Take recently, and then I played Dead Reset, which is one of those interactive games.
Yes,
both of those are great. They are great. But then also not great.
No. When with stuff like FMV, you have to go, it's not television, is it? Like, and I don't know why. I can't put my finger on it. I'm like, it's even when it stars like incredible actors, I'm like, they're acting worse in this. Is that a rule?
Yeah, well, this is the thing. Like, I'm doing a mini review now, but Dead Reset, the actors are really good, but they are inside a room at a university, and the students, bless them, they've tried their best with that set. And the monster is one of the funniest things I've ever seen in video games. It is potentially going to be pastiche in 30 years' time. But yeah, it's a great, enjoyable way to spend time, and actually a game that's fun to stream because you're spending it with other people. So I think actually... that's what I'm gravitating towards now, are those games that are partly on rails or just I know that within 6 hours I'm going to be at end credits. And for me, that makes it so much more accessible right now.
Do you know what we should do? You know, we created the Spotify playlist, which is still there, still kicking. You can go and listen to the Press X to Continue Ultimate Gaming playlist, by the way, on Spotify. You can listen to it. We should curate it, because this is a topic that comes up so often in the Discord. I raise it a lot. A lot of our contributors that come on the pod talk about it as well. I think we should curate a list, Daniel, of like 20 games you can do in less than 10 hours or something, and share it, because it's such a topic of conversation. I think a couple of lessons that I've learned from my experience of trying to get, and I've been playing a lot of College Football 26 recently. I've gone back to God of War Ragnarok because I just wanted to pick something that was like that I wanted to experience again because it was so good, and also familiar. So if I don't finish it, I'm not beating myself up about it. I think two things is leaning into the handheld stuff. And it doesn't you don't have to even have a handheld console. You can have your phone. I mean, look at all the games we talk about in our biscuit breaks, and we're about to do another one now. But like, there's loads of games we talk about there that are fun ways to like spend some time and like are intriguing ways to play. But what I haven't had for a long time is a dedicated space to play. And I think that's been a problem.
Yeah.
And it's hard, you know, because you can't always, if you're sharing a TV or whatever, if you live with someone, but trying to find a place or a time that you know is free for games, I think that can be super helpful. That's what's been a bit of a block for me to be able to play as regularly as I'd want to be recently. So trying to figure out a way to get around that. Mm. And now that we're moving house, hopefully there will be some space I can eke out to create that for me. I think that will really help. That's what I'm hoping anyway. 48 and a half hours, Einel, by the way.
Wow.
That's how long to beat says Final Fantasy Rebirth.
Oh, I've played way longer than that.
Yeah, that's 48 nice. And a half. That's a
I've
nonsense
done 80
stat.
Hours,
ridiculous.
It says, in over a year and a half.
48 hours is someone who hasn't touched Queen's Blood. Yeah. That's what that's come from.
Good. It's a good topic of conversation. We will come back to that. Any other last bids, last thoughts on that before we move on?
I will say, loads of, as I said before, like loads of cheap handhelds. Like, you don't have to get the super mod cons, the Xbox ROG Ally ones that cost like a fortune.
What a rubbish name. Again.
Awful. Awful.
So this is the new Xbox handheld, if you don't know what we're talking about. It's come out. What's it called again? I mean,
the Xbox Republic of Gamers Ally.
What? Rolls off the tongue, doesn't it?
I want one.
We all want one, but...
If they're listening to this, please.
Yeah,
I am a Game Pass subscriber. I really need it so I can play all games on the go.
But it's also like £1,000. Whereas, in terms of handheld, when people talk about like mobile gaming, I think it's very easy for people who don't do mobile gaming to assume it is going to be incredibly light, brainless stuff like Candy Crush, where it's just puzzles and explosions and that's it. Those weird Instagram ads you get where someone's firing at zombies and trying to choose whether they want to multiply the size of their army or delete it.
Have you ever managed to actually play that game, though? It looks amazing.
Yes, I'd say Ball X Pit. On Game Pass is that, but combined with Vampire Survivors and Breakout, I'd say Ball X Pit is like the good version of that. But actually, there's a wealth of games. I mean, Netflix deleted a ton, but Netflix's gaming service up until about a year ago was
good.
Probably pound for pound, game for game, better than Game Pass and PS Plus. And Apple Arcade has got really decent stuff. Again, ignore the word arcade. Brilliant, like South of the Circle, brilliant narrative adventure. You can play stuff like Kentucky Route Zero. You can play Final Fantasy games or Dragon Quest VIII on your phone. You can play full-length RPGs on your phone. And I think a lot of people don't know that. A lot of them you have to pay for individually, but a mobile game that's like a tenner and you get an entire Final Fantasy game. I played Chrono Trigger on my phone about a decade ago. Just had the best time with it.
Yeah, it's great. It's good advice today, guy. Look at this. I think we're adding value today. This is very good, isn't it? So look, let us know your thoughts. Share your tips with us as well. And what would you like to put in this list that we're going to curate? 20 games of best 20 games under 10 hours or something like that. Then get involved in the Discord. Maybe we'll do a channel for it or something. People can put their suggestions in. Be part of the conversation. Okay, right. It is now time, though, for the PressX Biscuit Break, brought to you by Pickup. And I know I've WhatsApped you. You've got
Indeed.
It. Lovely.
That's right. It's the part of the podcast where we take a moment to re-energize before going in again. We're going to discuss the games you can play while taking 5 minutes out to get yourself back on track, give yourself a little boost before going and taking on the world once again. I believe, Stefan, it is your turn this week.
Yeah, and I've taken what Glenn Moore was just talking about there about in terms of, you know, games that can really nourish you with narrative storytelling in the mobile device space and really run with it. So I've chosen Crossy Road, which is the exact opposite of that. It's a bit of mindless, silly fun that is still as good now, in my opinion, as it was when it first came out. It's basically just one button. That's all you need. You're traversing a busy motorway and railways with a variety of animals. It's silly. It's daft. It's the right kind of frustrating, in my opinion, and it's perfect to just sort of reset, have a little break away from reality, focus on this nonsense for 5-10 minutes, have a laugh, and then get back into it. So that would be my suggestion for this week's biscuit break. And because it's one-handed, you can eat your biscuit at the same
Look
time.
Look at perfect. That! That's perfect. Why he chose it.
Yes. So look. That is what you can go and try now if you fancy a little break from the world. That was the PressX Biscuit Break brought to you by Pickup. Okay, Einel, it is time for a review. And I think the producer, Dave, has sort of fallen on the laptop or something when he wrote down the name of the game you're reviewing. today. What is it?
This game's called Ooh. The first O's got...
That's what it's actually called.
Yeah, the first game's got umlaut on the top of it. It's less to be... Less about how you say the game, but more about what the character is. So you play... It's like a 2D pixel Metroidvania puzzle game. And you're going to love this because it's really in theme with what we've been discussing this week. You can finish this game within 3 hours. It's fantastic.
Sold.
Yeah, it's a fantastic... Metroidvania guy game brought to you by like a solo developer. He did Electrohead a few years ago. If anyone played that, that was a fantastic puzzle game as well. And you know how I love the puzzle game. So you play like a little cute caterpillar, right? And you get swallowed by a giant bird. And you have to basically find a way of navigating out of the giant bird by like exploring by using different puzzles. Now, the main game mechanic in this is that your little caterpillar and you have two bombs. And basically, you can't jump. All you can do is lay a bomb and detonate a bomb. When you lay a bomb, and the blast will push you. So once you lay it, you stack on top of it. So if you detonate it, it allows you to launch yourself up in the air. If you at the side of it, it pushes you across. And that's it. That's the whole mechanic. And it spends the entire game finding ways in which you have to utilize this one mechanic in terms of navigating through a puzzle, going back Metroidvania style to areas that you were previously at. And so it will teach you a mechanic and then you realize, oh, I can use that mechanic in a place that I've already visited. And then you use it there and then you progress. And then you realize, oh, wow, it teaches you another mechanic within that same realm. And then you're like, oh, wow, I know where I can utilize that. And then you go back to another area where in which you utilize it. I won't spoil it in terms of like the type of puzzles that it has, but I definitely think this is going to be right up your street, Glenn. It's like a really fun, like if you love Metroidvanias and you want a really short one and you love puzzle games, it's one of my game of the years. Easy.
With the traversal, did you play Pepper Grinder last year where you played a character who had like a sort of drill, like a proper like triangular drill, and you use the drill to burrow into the ground and then sort of propel yourself outwards. Yeah. So in this, you're using... Is it like propulsion physics and you're pushing yourself around? So you can't really move a great deal just on your own.
No, you can just go left and right. Your way around. You can go left and right.
This sounds great.
And so you have to utilize the bombs in order to kind of navigate over pitfalls and things. So like, say there's a pit in front of you, you have to like put down a bomb to push you across the pit. But then there'll be areas in which there's like giant spiky areas and you can only lay two bombs at a time. And so it's like, how do I get across this by only being able to lay two bombs? But then there's like switches. Also, some switches can be accessed if you detonate a switch, but then the switch will be like five screens across. How do I detonate the switch, then get to there within five screens, but then I can't jump to get past the other pitfalls? It's all kind of mind-bending puzzles in that kind of realm. But, like, it's really fun. Super cheap. I think you can pick it up for just a couple of quid. It's on PC. I think you can pick it up for £8.50.
Yeah, £8.50 on Steam. Looks good. £8.50. And how long to beat says 2 hours. So call it 4.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's good. Do you like puzzle games, Frankie? What do you think? Do you like any sort of this?
I think any game with a droid discovery. So puzzling, Metroidvanias definitely sound up my street, to be fair. So I think this is something I would definitely give a go.
So give Ooh a go then. If that sounds like a bit of you, you can find it on Steam. And like I know, saying £8.50, it'll set you back. I like it when we review. Remember when we reviewed Rift Riff earlier on in the year? Like, Frank, you might say random indie games of this nature, sort of made by really small teams of developers, sometimes sole developers. I do love it when we review games like that, as well as mega AAA blockbusters like Ghost of Yorta, like we did a couple of weeks
Stefan,
ago. It's nice to have
you
mix,
love this
it?
One, you know? And as I said, 3 hours, and then you're
thank
done.
Thank you very much.
And you get all the achievements by the end. You don't have to do anything special. You just get all the achievements.
So for all
just by
you
finishing.
Trophy hunters out there, this could be just for you. Yeah. Right, okay, it's time for this week's big question. So this is when our producers have been listening and scheming behind our backs whilst we have been recording, and then they give us a question to answer based on what we've been chatting about. So here we go. Today's question is this. The producers say, I'm sorry, we weren't listening. So tell us about a time you've been embarrassed by not listening properly. When have we been embarrassed by not listening properly? Well, it happens on the radio often if you get someone's name wrong, which is always
awkward. Have you done that?
Well, sometimes, there's a lot going on and someone's talking in your ear and you say, get someone's name wrong. So sometimes it happens.
When I first started doing TV and I had to have like an earpiece, I was too busy listening to what they were telling me to say on the thing. I didn't listen to anything that the person asked the interviewer's question, and I was like, apologies. I'm like, can you say that again?
I've got a bad gaming one.
Go on.
So the aforementioned Dispatch, the excellent PlayStation and PC game with Aaron Paul, it's made by former Telltale Studios people, so you can just immediately visualize how that works with all decision making. And at the end of each episode, because they're releasing two episodes a week, they give you that typical Telltale thing, the breakdown of you and 48% of other players decided to shoot such a character, that sort of thing, gives you the rundown. This is because I didn't listen, and I didn't listen early on. I've never had this stat before, because usually it's like, it's always that sort of Brexit, you and 48% of players, you and 52% of players. It's always that sort of, you know.
It's always quite close.
You and 0% of players barely passed the tutorial. That is the wording I got. You and 0% of players barely passed the tutorial shift. Me and 0%. They had to write that for me. You and 0%.
Fantastic. What about you, Frankie? Have you been embarrassed by not listening?
Well, I feel like it was a combination of not listening and not seeing properly, being on stage at the Fortnite Global Championships this year, and then having to go and interview the winners, and then immediately I sort of say to this player, oh, Muzz, so you were eliminated and having to watch your teammates win that for you. And he was like, I was still alive. I was like, oh.
Were you dead to me?
Yeah, exactly. But we don't say dead in Fortnite. You were eliminated to me. There was so much going on. There were three points of view, and you're like, you have to run in as soon as the Victory Royale is declared to do this interview. Yeah. And so I didn't have a moment. We don't carry cue cards, so it's like...
I bet you styled it out.
I can't even remember what I said in the moment. The evidence is on Twitter. I did try and style it out. I did try.
I've got faith in you.
As long as it didn't go viral, Frankie, you're all good.
Yeah,
you're good.
It's fine. It was just 10,000 French people and then, you know, 900,000 people on the internet watching. That's fine.
It's fine.
No big deal, guys.
Very good question. Right, okay, it's time to reveal the answer of this week's trivia question. So the management sim games Theme Park and Theme Hospital had a third game in the series that was only ever released in Japan. It then was ported to the UK under a different name and branding later on. But instead of Theme Park or Theme Hospital, what were players tasked with managing? Are you sticking with Zoo, Glenn?
I think I'm going to stick with Zoo, yeah. I want to go for movies, but I think Zoo just feels familiar.
That's a good guess.
What are you saying?
It's either the Dungeon Keeper thing or it's I don't know, like what Glenn was saying, maybe Trains.
Okay, Trains.
I'm going to say some kind of educational institution.
Oh, yeah, I was going to go school as well. So me and Frankie...
That was a really good Starmer impression, Frankie.
Thank you very much. I will confirm or deny nothing because I don't want to offend people while offending everyone.
The answer is an aquarium.
Oh!
Okay.
Theme Aquarium was developed in the UK but released in Japan in 1998. It was later then ported to Windows in Europe, and Theme was dropped from the title, and any reference to other games in the series or to developer Bullfrogged were removed.
Oh, wow.
I did not know. I'm Googling that straight
away. I suppose that happened back in the day. He's like, listen, you didn't make this.
Just an aquarium management sim?
Yeah, an aquarium management
sim. It doesn't really come
up
in games much, does it? I mean, 2 Point Museum does have that just as a smaller feature. Like, a couple of the levels are aquarium-based, but it's not what the entire game... Yeah. Revolves around. I wonder if it's quite limiting as a concept.
I still need to play the 2 Point Museum.
Oh, it's brilliant. It's so good.
None of us have done especially well, but our updated triangulated new scoring system means that I'm now dropped down to third place. Oh, no, I stay at third place. Aynel, you're in fourth place. Frankie, you stay 14th, and Glenn, you stay 15th. Okay. So. Room for improvement, I would say. But good question. That's a good question this weekend. Really the questions we get, Aynel, are great.
I used to think I knew about gaming trivia, and then we started doing this. I'm like, no, I don't know nothing.
I don't know shit. Well, Glenn, it's been lovely to have you back on. Where can people find your other stuff so that they can go and find it?
The video games podcast I host with Sarah Keyworth and Piano Velli is called Button Boys. That's just on every podcast platform and YouTube. And you can find me on Instagram and on Blue Sky. And you can see me on tour as well. I'm on my stand-up tour until March next year.
King of the Exhibeasts there, Glenn Moore on tour. Go and see him. Frankie, when can we see you doing anything exciting soon? You're busy. You're going to be upholstering some more, I suppose. We see that on your Instagram.
I just heard my dog screaming, which means her favourite person, my neighbour / upholsterer, David, has arrived. So hopefully the studio will be up next week. I need you guys to be guests on my show individually.
I just want to check out the upholstery.
Come and sit on my leopard print bench and play with my controller. I will tell you more when I'm able to reveal more.
Very exciting stuff. Well, keep your eyes peeled for that. We will be back very soon. Don't forget to get involved in the Discord if you fancy it, or message us on social media as well. We'd love to hear from you. And we will see you all very soon. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.